listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, June the 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and during this particular season of Pentecost, we're going to be looking at readings from the book of Mark. Mark is what is the book used for the second year, and it's going to be very interesting to look at some of these readings. This Sunday, June the 16th, is Proper Six, readings from Ezekiel 17, Psalm 1, 2 Corinthians 5, and Mark chapter 4. We're going to be taking a look at Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 26. This is probably a verse that you're somewhat unaware of, because Jesus is talking about what the kingdom of God is like. He says, God's kingdom is like this. Now, this is very important to understand. Now, what's he talking about? God's kingdom. He's talking about the Holy Christian Church. The Holy Christian Church is like this. A man will sow seed on the ground. He will sleep through the night and get up for the day. And the seed will come up and grow, although he doesn't know how. Now, that's really interesting. This is a very, shall we say, comforting verse for pastors, because they're planting the seed every Sunday for a lot of the members of the church. They come to a worship service, and through the liturgy, through the readings, through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, through singing the hymns, and specifically through a proper sermon dividing law and gospel, the seed is being sown. I can't tell you how many times I've done a sermon and then I get a result of it that really surprises me. I remember we had a son of parents in the congregation were visiting the parents. He was from Florida. He was not Lutheran. And he had a job. But when he heard the sermon, he got so interested in the Lutheran understanding of salvation that he came and talked to me. He ended up moving to St. Louis to live with his parents, started going through adult instruction class, and after that, he decided to go to the seminary to become a pastor, which he did. And he ended up being a pastor for some time. Now, I had no, shall I say, responsibility in seeing that happen. It just happened. We sowed the seed, and then the seed grew up and grew. although I didn't know how. Verse 28. The ground by itself produces grain. First the green blade, then the head, then the full wheat in the head. And when the grain is ready, well, the farmer swings the sickle because it is time to cut the grain. I saw that happening. For 4 years, we were driving in Illinois to a congregation. It was about a 300-mile round trip every Sunday. And we would go through the cornfields. It was just really interesting to see the cornfields prepared for the seed. And then you knew that the seed had been sown, and we could watch the corn as it grew up. And then finally, when it was ready, it was harvested. The farmer didn't do anything to make the corn grow. They may have put some items on the ground to kill the weeds and such, but the growing of the corn is still something we don't know how. I mean, I like eating corn on the cob. And you take a look at a little kernel of that corn and how that is going to turn into a big, big plant is really beyond me. We don't know how it does it. But going in the ground, receiving the water from God in the form of rain or wells, and the corn grows. It grows all by itself, and the farmer really doesn't know how. Jesus continues in verse 30 of Mark chapter 4. It's called the mustard seed. And this particular explanation of what the kingdom of God is like is also found in Matthew 13 and Luke 13. So this is very important, what Jesus is about to say. He says, what should we say God's kingdom is like? Or how should we picture it? Now, where before he used grain that comes up in a way that we don't know how, in these verses he uses a mustard seed, which very interesting. He says, when it is sown on the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. But when it's sown, it comes up and becomes the largest of all the garden plants. It grows such large branches that the birds in the air can nest in its shade. Wow. You can take a mustard seed and hold it in the palm of your hand, and it's really tiny. And yet when you put it in the ground, it grows, and we don't know how. But from that seed comes a large plant with branches so that the birds in the air can nest in its shade. That's what the kingdom of God is like. When you do a Bible study with your children at home, or kind of go through theological material like Luther's Small Catechism, or have them listen to AM 850 KFUO, well, that's the seed being sown. And it might be like a mustard seed, but through faith given by the Holy Spirit, it can grow up. And the saints in the Holy Christian Church can do the work of God. We don't know how this happens, but in a sermon, and this has happened many a time, you have a funeral, but you use the verses from the Bible to create comfort in the hearts of the believers. And they rest in the shade of the Word of God. Now, this was a very common practice of Jesus. These are parables. The one about the grain growing and we don't know how. And about the mustard seed, that when it grows, it has such large branches that the birds in the air can nest in its shade. Then verse 33 says, Jesus used many parables like these to speak the word as they were able to hear it. Now, what is the word? The word is the seed that Jesus is sowing. The word is the seed that parents use to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word is the seed that you go and hear many a time on a Sunday or other days when worship services are provided. And particularly in hearing the sermon, based on the readings, one ends up being shaded by the branches of the kingdom of God. Verse 34. He wouldn't speak to them without a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. This is very, very important to understand. That when Jesus is using parables like the grain or the mustard seed, he then explains to the disciples the meaning of those particular extended metaphors, which is really what a parable is like. It extends the Word of God, explains the Word of God. And this happens a number of times. So, this is how we today can preach appropriately. We also can use parables. That is, we can use extended metaphors about what people are aware of in the world and make the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. And it just so happens that on this Sunday called Proper Six, there is a psalm, and it's Psalm number 1. And it has something to help explain Mark chapter 4. It begins, this is the very first words in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man who doesn't go with the wicked in their planning, or stand in the ways of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but delights in what the Lord teaches and reads it thoughtfully day and night. I know of a number of members in congregations over which I have been a pastor that begins every morning with reading a portion of Scripture. And then reading also the explanation. There are books available from Concordia Mission Society to help you do that, as well as reading these psalms each day. What does it mean that a man is blessed? Because he isn't with the wicked in their planning. What would that mean? That he attempts to indulge himself in worldly pleasures, even to the point of doing it in a wicked way. He doesn't stand in the ways of sinners. That means in the way that they treat one another, or sit in the company of mockers, who mock Jesus by saying that the spirit he has is not the Holy Spirit, therefore blaspheming him. But how is this man recognized? Verse 2, he delights in what the Lord teaches and reads it thoughtfully day and night. This certainly reminds us of Jesus on the Mount of Ascension, when God the Father, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. If you are in a church and you are not hearing what the Lord teaches, then you are standing with the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers. But when you love to hear the teaching of the Lord, then you are a blessed person. Verse 3. This blessed person is like a tree planted by streams of water. It produces its fruit in its season, and its leaves don't wither. This is again an extended parable about the kingdom of God. A Christian saint is like a tree, and the streams of water could refer to baptism, or like Jesus says, he gives the water of life. Remember that meeting he had with a Samaritan woman who had come to get a drink? And Jesus says, I have water where you will never be thirsty. And she ended up telling the village about Jesus. And he was invited to stay with that little town of Samaritans who came to faith in the kingdom of God. They began to produce fruit, and their leaves didn't matter. He succeeds in everything he does. Verse 4. The wicked are not like that. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. And so, when they're judged, the wicked will not stand, nor will sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's very important to understand, that the congregation of the righteous are indeed the saints in the Holy Christian Church. The wicked will not stand with them, nor will sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But is it not true that even every Christian is a sinner? We often begin our worship service confessing our sin to God, but then we implore his forgiveness. We repent of our sins, and God forgives us, so that on the day of judgment, we will not be standing with sinners who have not repented or have denied the gift of the forgiveness of sins. How does a pastor do that? How does a parent do that? By simply speaking the word of God. Verse 6. You see, the Lord cares about what happens to the righteous, but the wicked go their way and perish. What's being talked about there? Jesus talked about two paths. The wide path upon which many sinners walk, and the narrow path upon which the righteous walk. The wicked go their way. That's the wide path. And they will perish. It's not that God doesn't want them to go his way, but they refuse to do so. So that when judgment day comes, the wicked will not stand, because they begin their day with the planning of wicked things, standing in the ways of sinners, sitting in the company of mockers. What a wonderful psalm. There's 150 psalms, but they all have the same message. And some of them are really important. And share that message in ways that are very, very helpful. One of the most important psalms, of course, is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me to water where I can rest. He restores my life. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23 is a wonderful expansion of Psalm 1. It shows that if you are a Christian believing in Jesus Christ, you are like that grain that was planted in the ground, or that mustard seed, and you don't know how you grew, but you grew by the power of God as he watered you, and you have branches that indeed protect you. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow we'll look at the hymn assigned for this Sunday. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.